Morning, good church. This was such a difficult talk to prepare for. Unlike any other I've given up to now, I guess. Been very encouraging morning so far. People saying all kinds of encouraging things. Like, now I'm speaking before we do the anointing, now, you know, people can weigh up every word I say and see whether it's good enough or not. Thanks. That set me free. No, actually, I am free. I don't really mind if you say no. Great. That's not an encouraging word for me. He said, are we all going to do this at the end? And I said, you can feel free to do that. But how about we can do that at the end? And I'll try not to cry. Either way. For those of you who know me, no, that's a pretty difficult task. I might end up crying anyway. These things do get to me. So, I've never taken on a responsibility like this, I guess. So it's a big thing for me, a big step for me, and I'm glad that God has called me and spoken to me. I'm very glad that I took that trip up to the Lake District and spent time in the mountains when God didn't speak in the roaring wind on top of the hill or in the small, quiet voices that are driving away. And so I hope that I do this without me. And a word to you young guys, actually, that responsibility. I know, because I was once young. Believe it or not, yeah. Do you know I found a grey head the other day? I was much young. Sorry? I was much young, and I had this homework to do, and schoolwork to do, and people, teachers always telling me what to do, and parents always telling me what to do, and I couldn't wait to. So I grew up. I could leave school and do what I wanted. Come on, don't say you don't feel like that. I know you do, Alex. No? So, obviously you're more mature than I was. I used to think, those thoughts used to go through my head. I used to think this is, it's going to be so great when I leave school and I can just do what I like. But I was blissfully ignorant of one thing. Responsibility. And as you grow, responsibilities grow. And so, just a word to you guys and in Surge, you know, enjoy these days. Responsibility is a bit low. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's good. So, I guess then, before you pray for me, before you anoint me, or whatever you're going to do, throw stones at me later, then you better know a few things that you're going to be letting yourself in for. About me. About my heart, I guess, for this church. And I apologise for visitors if you're in business here, but this is my opportunity to do this, so this is next week. So, what am I going to talk about this morning? Anybody going to guess? God. Thanks, Jill. I thought I'd go off pitch, actually. But that's something completely irrelevant. What did someone say?
Love.
There's a chorus. I'm boring and predictable. That's one thing you will get. Boring and predictable. Because I am going to talk about love. Consistent, thank you. That's very encouraging. Bless you. It's great to have you on my team. Encouraging people. I'm going to talk about love. I want to talk a little bit about some of my passions. At this point, Sadie gets very worried, a bit nervous. She always says I have too many passions, and too passionate about everything. If I have an opinion, it's passionate. If I don't have an opinion, I don't care. It's probably true, actually. I'm afraid I don't have many passions. But I'm not going to talk about all the obvious ones, like mountain walking with my friend Paul and Anthea, or whiskey, or golf, or good books like Lord of the Rings, or anything that I really enjoy like that. Bird watching with my friend Paul West, who's not here this morning. All these sad things. But I have something that I'm very passionate about. And obviously I'm passionate about the Lord. And people say I'm passionate about theology. In fact, we were celebrating Anthony's birthday on Friday, and my friends were joking about my passion for theology. They were saying, when we get to heaven, that God was going to put all the people with theological questions in my way. So God will answer that. Well, not sure that's entirely true. But I am passionate about theology. But I think that can be misunderstood. I'm not really interested in just clever arguments, clever philosophies, things that sound good. That doesn't interest me at all. Being able to out-argue someone or outsmart someone, that's not what I find interesting about theology or what I get passionate about. In fact, a lot of what some people call theology I find very boring and very irrelevant. There's nothing for me whatsoever. And I guess it's not about religion either. I hate religion. In fact, the more I go on, the more I hate religion. Thank you. You know, it's something when I became a Christian. I wasn't brought up a Christian, so when I became a Christian at the age of, between 20 and 24, because I prayed a couple of times for God to come into my life at that time, we're all on the journey. But when I became a Christian, I really knew nothing about church or about Jesus or about what it was all about. So I had very little in the way of religion in that sense, but I'd seen a lot. Experienced a lot in churches. And it used to confuse me a little bit with Jesus getting so angry with the religious people of the day when I first started to read about it. But the more I've gone on, the more that resonates with me and the more angry I get with religious people. I don't very often get angry, but I do get angry with religion. Because it can be so ugly. I get angry with dogmatism. With people telling other people what they should believe. That really gets me, that makes me angry. I hate it. I don't like people telling other people what they should believe, even if they're right. Because it violates a freedom that we should all have to decide. I don't like it when we get legalistic. Religion's often legalistic. Not telling people what to think, but telling them what to do. I hate that. I really hate it. So I doubt you'll ever hear me tell people what they must do. Apart from my kids. I can't get legalistic in the home. But I really don't like rules. I think religion, James says, that the best religion is looking after orphans and widows. The best religion is relational. It can be ritualistic. People doing things because they've always done them. Not really understanding why. Don't like that. Hate dogmatism. Hate legalism. Hate ritualism in that sense. Because they all remove people's freedoms. They all remove people's freedoms. I'm passionate about people being free. To work it out for themselves. Between them and God. I think we can encourage them, we can point them in the right direction. If they want advice, we can give it. I'd always be happy to give advice to people if they ask for it, I won't offer it. Because these things remove people's freedoms. They smack of control. And there's too much control in church history when you read it. There's too much fighting and falling out over power and control. So I don't like that. So what is it about theology that I love? You might wonder. What is it about this subject that really grabs me? Well, it's obviously, for those that know me, it's about reading the heart of God. Understanding more about Him. That's what gets me passionate. I love the Lord because He's transformed my life. That's the truth. I love the Lord because He's made such a massive difference to me. I was broken. Bit of a mess growing up. I was a difficult teenage either. But God made me transform my life. That is amazing. Nothing can compare to that. It's hard to communicate to people, isn't it? I know when I first became a Christian, I just suddenly thought, and I felt so brilliant, that everyone was suddenly seeing things as quickly and as easily as I did. And I was so enthusiastic about telling people about the love that God had for me. the difference he was making in my life at that time. And I just thought, saying, yeah, clear, that's obvious, we'll just join you. But it doesn't work. It's so difficult to pass on. But the more you go on, just the more that God reveals his love, the more he reveals his grace, his gentleness, his compassion. The more he reveals his patience. He's been patient with me, kind. He's been forgiving and good all the time. Those are not clever sound bites. They're real experience. They're things that I know to the depth of my soul. It's the reason why I can jump every week. Because I experience those things. I know that to be true about God. I know it. This morning, I had a friend of God to give me the words to say this morning. I just was thanking God for his goodness. Thanking for revealing himself the way he has done through Scripture, through his son Jesus. To be this God of tremendous love. And you know what, come straight back. Almost straight, I've never had this before, but come straight back. And God said, I love it that you know that about me. I really love it that you know that about me. I really felt a warm embrace this morning as I got down to prepare for what I was going to say. And it is fantastic. I love Godfrey Bertrand's songs. I know musicians often struggle with Godfrey Bertrand because his music is sometimes a bit irritating. Sorry, that's the word that came to mind. But I love what he sings. And I get really passionate about what he sings. So when he sings things like, blessing other people who know that God is good, I really know what it means. It's not just a trite little phrase that we sing. But I really know what that means. You are truly blessed. Out of your socks, which my Gore-Tex today, by the way, when you know that God is good. You really know it. You are blessed out of your socks. Life doesn't get much better than when you know you're loved by the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, and he is good all the time. That's why it says in Daniel, in the New King James, Daniel 11:32, that those who know their God will be strong and do great things, great exploits. There's a great strength that comes from knowing that God is good. A great strength to persevere through tough times. A great strength to keep on keeping on. A great strength to serve. A great strength to love. A great strength to give away. It comes when you know that God is good and he's working with you. And I know that. And these are the things that God considers glorious about himself. It's God's glory. We sang this morning about wanting to see God's glory. Spread over the earth. Sang it. We need to tell about these things. We need to declare these things. God's goodness to this world. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you don't know that. You don't know the God who is love. You don't know it. Really know it. And I urge you again. Ask him into your heart. Ask him to reveal yourself. That's all I did 20 odd years ago. And I guarantee you, you will enter. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. And I guarantee you, you will never, ever regret it. I can personally guarantee it, because God has guaranteed it. God never lets anybody down. It's the best thing you'll ever do. So I'm passionate about the Lord. I'm passionate about the God who is good, the God who is love. I'm passionate about people. People are brilliant. Is it the Far Show where that guy says, oh, my show is so brilliant. People are brilliant. They've got two arms, they've got two legs, a head, a mouth, they can talk and walk, everything. Brilliant. People are brilliant. I'm passionate about people. I love people. I've always been fascinated by people. When I was young, I used to just watch people a lot. And I grew up with a very low self-esteem and made very quiet. I used to watch. And I was amazed with people. I used to think everyone was much better than me. And they all knew what they were doing. The truth is, of course, they were just a bit braver facing it than I was. They were just a bit braver than me. They were just bluffing out a bit better than me. It wasn't until I got to university that I realised that everybody was just like me. I started to have some deep conversations with people, and I realised that everyone was just a mixture of hopes and fears, a mixture of good and bad, mixture of beauty and ugliness. We're all a mixture. We're all a mixture. That was a big revelation to me, wasn't it? Really, it was amazing. It transformed my life to realize that. Everyone else was just like me. It's not surprising, though, that people are brilliant when you know they're made in the image of God. No wonder. No wonder. And yet, having that complicated, that long, torturous route into faith myself, the first 24 years, and seeing the way that God dealt with me, the patient way he dealt with me, the way he revealed himself to me, the way he mended, started to mend me, and look what he's done in my life, just gives me a great deal of compassion for people. You know, I kind of feel sorry sometimes for people that are grounded in Christian homes, because they haven't experienced some of the depths that you can get into without God. Some of the bleakness of life without the Lord, which can be very bleak. But when you do, when you know it, you gain a lot of compassion on people. And it's fascinating to know why people are like that. Don't you find it fascinating? I play this game all the time. I look at people as I'm picking coffees, they're wandering down the street, or they walk past them shopping, I think, I wonder what their life's like. I really would like to follow them home. I'm not nosy. Okay. Saying his name. You used to go to people's houses and just wander around freely about every room. I'm not nosy, I'm just admiring the quality. I'm not nosy, but I'm starved to follow everybody home and see why they're like they're at. Why do they think the way they think? Why do they act the way they act? It's fascinating. It is fascinating. And I know that God is wanting to get into everyone's life and to mend broken lives. And I love seeing people work, seeing God work in people's lives. I love it. That's why I did Alpha for so many years. Still jealous of Gary and Chris and the others, by the way. Who just did a fantastic job on the Alpha course. It's the best job in the church. And when I still say that? Can I still say that? It's fantastic, it's a great job. Because you're with people all the time, you're hungry, you're asking questions, you want to know why. You see God working in their lives, you see them being transformed before your eyes as they seek the God who loves them, as they fall in love with Jesus. You see the exchange. That is a real privilege. I wish everyone could be involved in the Alpha Course. I wish we had enough Alpha Course if I didn't require us all to be involved in the Alpha Course. Another thing I'm passionate about is church. I am passionate about church. Because church is God's solution for this world. Yeah, don't you? Yeah? We are God's solution for making it, or part of it, part of the body of Christ. God's not Plan B. If we mess up, he's not going to suddenly come down and make it all right. That might mess with some of your theologies, but he's not going to do that. Down to us, what happens in Maidenhead. And the church is amazing. The church is such a beautiful thing. It's an incredible place. It's a powerful place. There's so much love in the church. The best description, the bride of Christ. Bride always looks so good. Stick a white dress in the veil, a bunch of flowers. They look wonderful. Oh, that's very wrong, Karen. Lots of preparation. Lots of preparation. Good, yeah, lots of preparation. Hide it. Come in the cracks. I'll take it back. I didn't say it. Well, I did say it. But, no, the church is the bride of Christ. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful and stunning. When a church walks in the love of God, it's beautiful. When a church speaks about, proclaims the grace of Jesus, that's a freely available, it's a gift, a life that's available in Christ. Free, no strings attached, no dogma, no legalism. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. When the church walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, when people are prayed for who are sick and they're healed, when people are set free from depression and fear, that is beautiful, that is glorious. All these things are amazing. When the church that walks in these things is just the most dynamic force on earth. Amen? Yeah. Do you believe it? Dave believes it. I'm glad there's two of us here, Dave. Thank you. It's the most dynamic force on earth. And we are God's instrument to heal broken world. He will only work for his people. We're the body. A man only works through his body. Christ only works through his body. If the hands and feet don't do what the head tells it, it doesn't get done. I love the church. I don't really care what it looks like. In some senses, it comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. I just love it. I don't care how it emerges. I don't care how it's constructed. I just don't want it destructed. So I know that Sunday mornings take a lot of effort to put on for our time for church. I'm not embarrassed about that. I love that, actually, because a lot of effort goes into making the bride beautiful. And I want our Sundays to be good. I want us, when we get together, to go away singing in our hearts, rejoicing that having been together, encouraging one another. For me, that's what Sundays are about. We can meet with God any time, any part of the week. But when we come on Sundays, we meet with God, yes, but we meet with one another and we encourage one another. We love one another. We go away singing, rejoicing, because we've been in the company of God and encouraging one another. Such as a powerhouse, the Sunday morning. Should be a powerhouse. It should be the thing that the powerhouse of the church feeds off. I'm not into deconstructing church to make it invisible. I want the church to be a beautiful thing that people want to look at and say, wow, that's amazing. You know, I've seen a beautiful church in the park. You know, which a long time ago as a family. And I said this the other week, I think, but you know, that the church is transforming their society. They've had Hinduism for centuries. It has not transformed their society for the good, in that sense. There's a lot of darkness and fear there. They've had Buddhism in the northern areas for centuries. It hasn't done a lot of good. But when Christians get in there, hospitals spring up, schools spring up, orphanages spring up. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. You go to the world, anybody on the street, and they will understand that. They will say, oh, an orphanage, I can support an orphanage. That's amazing. Yeah, I will give to that. A school, fantastic, I will give to that. A hospital, wow, just going to hospitals. You see it with our, you know, our live aids and things like that. People will give to that kind of thing. But I've seen it in the power, and it's the church that's doing it. There were no hospitals before the church got there. There were no schools. There were no orphanages. The church is building them. And we're training church leaders out that way in the River of Life Bible Training Center. And they're going on to do the same in different remote areas of the power now. We need to find more partners for that. More people to sponsor students out there. We're training 14 at the moment. It costs about £500 to train a pastor. To me, that's great value when you see the work that they do. Because the church is beautiful. The church is beautiful. Looking forward to going out again in March. But you do. Yeah. I have friends out there, Joshua and Santi, who we trained a couple of years ago. And they're from the Solo Cooper region, the Everest region. And they got married the day after they graduated from our training centre. In fact, you met them, Christian, because you came. We couldn't stay for their wedding. We were on a tight schedule. But she got married in her graduation clothes that we bought for her. And they've gone out to this remote area. And then since they're going out there, they've done battle with witch doctors. They've been persecuted by witch doctors. They've seen witch doctors who have become gravely ill healed in the name of Jesus. So those witch doctors and their families have become Christians because the head witch doctor in the region got healed. So a whole bunch of witch doctors got healed, so they got saved, and their families. they run a church, which is only about 60 strong, but they're being persecuted by their family. You don't know this. They were put out of the home recently, the parental home. They don't have their own yet. They're put out of the parental home because their sister's been conniving against them. And they're living in a shed. It's so cuckoo. We think it's cold here, guys. Get real. These guys are living in a shed in the Sovacumbu. They're 5,000 rupees of debt. That's 2 months' wages. Because they're chosen to give themselves to the Lord, they have no money. 50 quid. Some of us this morning can probably put it out of our wallets. But they can't buy more clothes. They can't buy more clothes. Church is beautiful. Church is beautiful. We can help people like that. Or better, let's get going. That's my usual trick. You see, I'm a reflector. I love to think about things. I'm better at thinking than doing. I'm better with values and with programs. That's why I like working in team. Thank God for my team that he's put around me. I like activists like James, Tina. People that get things done, people that come up with bright ideas, I enjoy working with you. So I say to you guys, such a good partnership. She's the ideas lady, she's the ideas in our family. I just have to kind of make sure I've sifted through them all. She's the ones which are good. There are so many where I can get tired out, just working out which ones to do. That's why we're a good partnership. I'm not brilliant at the organisation, which is why I'm really grateful for people like Kerry and Susan, who do such a fantastic job of organising things. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. I thank God for the team. And the church that I want to build is one which is focused on love. You know I was going to speak on this, but the church I want to build is a church which is founded on love. The way I read it, God is love. The greatest commandments are love God and love people. It's simple, and it would make it so complicated. Jesus says, "You will know they will know you're my followers because of your love for one another." I love what Vicky and Andy did before Christmas, the hampers thing. That's great. That was such an expression of love towards people. Really, I know that put a smile on Jesus' face. Jesus, John, who said, "If you can't love people, you can't love God." Peter said that above all, we're to fervently love one another. And he says we're to greet one another with a kiss of love. The idea of the holy kiss, that sounds a bit kind of religious, doesn't it? It's a holy kiss. But it actually says a kiss of love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. I loved it this morning when Christopher and Rob and I talked to greet one another. I normally go and make sure I can hug a lot of people in that time, but I just watched this morning, and it was great just to see everybody greeting one another. Real warmth, real affection. For me, that's wonderful. I know some people greeting me just get irritated sometimes if there's a lot of noise going on and they can't quiet people down, but I love it. Because it means people are glad to be with one another. They're really happy to be together. And as a church, we should be. We should be. Can I just read? I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians, which we always read at weddings, but I want to read it this morning. Because for me it's prophetic to where I want the church to be. If it's all under my leadership. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels who do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. The most excellent way. Pursue love. Desire a great gift, but pursue love. So if you ask me what type of church I would intend to build, if you want me a few minutes, it's one that stands on that, simply. I will want to be found on the fact that I'm going to build a church who knows that God is love, above all else. Strong in understanding that, strong in understanding the theology of that, to be able to defend it, be able to speak it out, be able to live it out. We talk a lot about the presence of God. You know, and that's not just simply a spiritual feeling. It's not just about the goosebumps and the manifestations that we see sometimes about falling over and other things like that. They're good. You know, they're all signs that people are experiencing something, reacting to the presence of God. But we can practice it with love too. One good indicator of the presence of God in the church is the amount of love there. If there's a lot of love in the room, the presence of God is in the room. Because God is love. I really believe that. I really believe that. I also want a church that hugs. Greet one another with a kiss of love. I do. If I had my way, I'd claim you all like Jan Vickers. I'd like to impregnate you all with Jan's hug gene. There is very little that cannot be solved by a great hug. And a cup of tea for us. Tea's great as well. Yeah. That's next week's. We'll come on to the minor, you know. But hugs are really up there. As an expression of concern of love for one another. Yeah, I would definitely claim you. Thank you. Keep hugging us.
Not all today, thank you.
Not all today, no, you pretender. Oh, Lord Jesus, strengthen that body so it can hug. Strengthen those hug muscles. I want us to be strong in practicing love one another. I want to encourage Andy and Vicky. Because you guys love people. I love the way you opened up your home. I love the way you opened up your home and you have small groups of newcomers and people like that coming to you. You make space for new relationships. That is important in a church. Otherwise, church, if we all get comfortable with our sincere friends, we can get so comfortable that we don't have any room in our lives for new friendships. And part of growing up, church, we have to make space for new friendships. We have to let go of some of our old friendships and make space for new friendships. Otherwise, church will never grow. Never grow. Never get to know new people. And we desperately must. So thank you. I would also take genes from you and Clark and everybody in the congregation. Because it's so important that we are hospitable, that we welcome one another into each other's homes. It's a sign of love. And I don't want to build a church which is just fantastic at preaching, which is just fantastic at healing, which is just fantastic at meetings. I don't want that if there's no love. Do you hear me? Give me a church that hugs any day. The miracles will follow. It's true. Because God loves doing miracles. They're not difficult. But loving, that takes a whole lot of effort on our part. Because we're all tired at times. We've all got massive agendas. We've got kids to bring up. We've got families to see. We've got neighbours, whatever else, work, jobs. We've got lots on our minds. But let's never lose that priority of making space to love people intentionally. What's that phrase someone uses around? Random acts of kindness. Let's never lose that ability to make space in our lives to really love intentionally. Let our spouses, people in our home, our kids, our neighbours, but also each other. bubble love, love one another. Care for one another. Give Christmas hampers to one another. Invite each other in for cups of tea. That is important. They're vital. Vital, just as the miraculous and the supernatural and the teaching and everything else is. Love is vital. I loved it when we got the church prepared meals with Andy and Annie when they were going through their trial before Christmas with Thomas. I love that. Fantastic. That's the church at its best. It really is. Lastly, the third thing that I really want, that I'm really going to strive for, I'm going to work hard for, strive is not a good word to use, is it? But I want to work hard for, is a fertile church. Because it's not either or. It's not either or. Gary is rejoicing at the back. Gary, I'm not saying that I want every family to be the size of yours. Although I have to admit, you're very fertile. But I do want a church for the babies. I do want a church for the babies. And if somebody wants to go and get the children's work, children's ministers, that would be really helpful. I do want a church for the babies.
Are you asking them to collect their children?
No, I think we're trying to focus on bringing them to you. You see, I believe that the church who loves and worships the God of his love is a very attractive thing. Call me mad. Call me deluded. But I actually believe that. I believe that the church who really knows that God is love, lives it, practices it, worships it, proclaims it, is a very attractive thing. So I expect, if we do that, I expect people to be added to us. I thank God for the Tony and Vanessa, the Jowett family, for all that God's done in their family this year. But it's not enough for me. I'm sorry. You're not enough, guys. I love you dearly, you know that. But I want to see more, Jowett. You know what I mean. Don't twist my words. I want to see more families added to the church. I want to see more people being saved. You know, like Rachel cried out in her desperation. You know, Rachel, not my daughter, Rachel, the wife of Jacob. And she cried out, "Give me children or I die." I cry out the same. Give me children or I die. We have to make a difference. Now, I'm really grateful to you, Ian, for the way the place you brought the church to. Where we had 50 people on the streets of Maidenhead, just blessing people before Christmas, putting a smile on people's faces, letting them know that the church is there, that the church cares for them, that God loves them. Thank you for doing that, for bringing the church to that point. I really want to honour you for that. It's a good place for me to take over. But I want more of that church. I want more of that. God spoke to me back in September. He said, it's time for the church to get up on a high mountain. So we're all going on a mountain walking holiday. But he said, get up on a high mountain. Isaiah, bearer of good news. Get yourself up on a high mountain. It's time for us to get up on a high place and proclaim the goodness of God. I really believe it. I really believe it. And I got confirmation this morning because I emailed Jim Paul. He emailed me that a revival is going on in a Mormon church in America. People are receiving the Holy Spirit in a Mormon church. He was invited to go and speak there. You should prophesy and pray over them. The pastor got whacked by the Holy Spirit. Others got whacked by the Holy Spirit. The pastor wants that Holy Spirit to be given to 100 churches in a Mormon church. How good is that? But I emailed in response telling him I was going to get prayed for today. And he said to me, fantastic. We said the church that's got something like the church that's got Jesus' heart at the moment is the evangelistic church. And I want us to take this good news that we have out to our community. Give me children or I die. Oh, we've got some! Hallelujah. I want older children as well. You see, if we're not going to impact our community, if we're not going to see people saved, let's all die and go to heaven now. Yeah? Because actually, that's a lot easier and a lot better. If we're going to be here, let's make a difference to our neighbourhoods. Let's make a difference for this town. So thank you, Ian, for bringing us to this place. So I'm going to finish there, and I guess we're going to pray. But first of all, you go to the, well, you know.
Stay here, Colin. I'm going to ask the members of the tent team that are here and members of the main head team. We're going to come and we're going to stand around Colin.
Next week, guys, I really want us to pray for us at the team. I'll get the team up next week. I've added some new people to the team, but I'll announce that next week. But I'd really like you all to come next week, be prepared. And also to come and exhort the Lord for us. I'd really like to hear any prophetic words you have for us at this time. Do you hear that, church? Lord, it be, if you heard it. But I really want you to seek the Lord. Actually, I really want to hear your prophetic words for us as a team. So you can either email them to us or bring them down next week. And that would be really useful. Thank you.
Before I go on, I forgot to mention earlier to say congratulations to Mark and Kirsty. You've got engaged. Heard the word about babies, but I'm sure that's really embarrassing. One thing at a time. Right, okay. Fantastic. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to stand with Colin, we're going to pray for him, we're going to anoint him with oil. And when we've finished here, what we'll do is we'll release people, you can grab people up. So Colin will still be here being prayed for, I'm sure, for quite a long time. And if you want to, you can then come over and stand with him, lay hands on him, prophesy to him. And we'll just let that go on as long as it needs to. But for the time being, I'm just going to let's start. Father, we just want to invite your presence here. Father, I want to say, Lord Jesus, that Lord, leadership is a calling, Lord Jesus. We use the word, and it's obviously very lowly leadership, but there is a calling, Lord Jesus, to push on and become part of that hearing, to take the community somewhere, Father. And so, Father, we don't just want to say, well, Colin's a good guy, we like him, therefore we'll let him leave. We want to know your anointing on him in that role, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we just stand before him today. And, Father, we recognise the spirit that you've put in him. We recognise the calling that you've put in him. But today, Lord Jesus, we ask for an impartation of all of the gifts he needs for this new family. All of the wisdom he needs to now step into. All of the extra maturity that is going to be required, Lord Jesus. We say that you call us, Lord, before you give to us the things we need. Lord Jesus, because it is a walk of faith. Yeah. And there will be gifts that the Lord needs to give you on this journey. And Father, we just want to stand in faith for Colin. That Lord, you will anoint him, Lord Jesus, with the oil of gladness above his fellows, Lord Jesus. May he lead with joy. But Lord Jesus, may he be full of that anointing presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I'd like to say,
Lord,
You don't have to stay up here the whole time if you don't want to, but just want to be together. It's really simple for the Philippines, for both of you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we pray for you both together. Father, we thank you that you are this couple's provider, and you are the one in the source of all goodness for them as a couple and as a family. For Colin, as he takes on his leadership, Lord, he is joined with Sadie, and we know, Lord God, that we can count on you for all that they need together. And so I just felt I needed to pray for both of you, and no less just Colin on his own, but be anxious for nothing, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. and it's really funny what you said at the beginning of the meeting. You said, you all know what I stand for. And we had dinner with Mac and Duncan earlier on in the week, and we all laughed about Christmas and the fact that they bought masses of chocolate. And we in the Davis household, well, some of us, really like chocolate. And Duncan came around in the week and he gave me this and said, oh, and I thought, wow,
There is a lot more space in the toolbox. God wants you to know that you already have some brilliant tools and you have done some great jobs with them. But there is so much more space for more tools. God wants to give you the toolbox with every imaginable tool for every job that you can imagine. When I was growing up, my recollection was that my dad had about 4 tools, which he used for every DIY job in the house. He made do with these tools and tried to do each job as best he could. Some years later, my good friend Ivor showed me how it was really done. He was a master of his DIY trade and had a specialist tool for every job. I couldn't believe how many. Everything seemed so much quicker, easier, and actually fun. So that is where God wants to take you in this new season, Colin. I was also reminded by some of the material that Steve Chalk has been talking about being an apprentice. And I felt very strongly that in this season, God wants you to be his apprentice. Bring your toolbox with the tools you currently have, and God is going to fill that toolbox with more tools than you've ever had before. So as God's apprentice, Colin, you'll be lacking for nothing.
Follow that with the verse I before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. But you said, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything, I'm only a boy. And then God said, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of the soul. I'll be right there looking after you.
I said to you before I saw you in the corridor this morning, I had to and the drawings of mountains. Because you are a man of the mountains. And the real key I want to say to you is from Colossians chapter 3. Which is that you are seated in Christ. And that's what we need from you in this church. What we need to catch from you is being seated in Christ. And I'm going to speak over you that you're going to be seated in him with a new authority, a new understanding of the kingdom. You're going to be seated in him in a new way that is going to give you a remarkable authority in this season. So I speak spiritual authority into you right now, for you shall be seated in the Christ, and that's what you shall bring.
The word that the Lord gave to me was, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. And I've written a whole lot of other things down here, but I'll give those to you. But this is what I wanted to actually, if I was a singer, I would sing this back on the altar. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide, though the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world with love. And that's as much about you as it is about our Lord and our Father. And we do all know that love is your hallmark. And I just pray that in this season that you will just grow more and more. As you just go from glory to glory, getting more and more like Jesus, so that this is as much
about you. We're going to anoint you now, Colin. But the verses I have, you're actually out of the ones you read yourself, but they're not. They're kind of the ones that just come toward the end, where it says, "Faith, hope, and love." But gracious and peace is love. We all know that love is an absolute passion. But I want to take the words that Paul says of himself, but I want to read them to you as you. He says, when you were a child, you used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when you became a man, you did away with childish things. Right in the beginning, you talked about the need to grow in responsibility. And you were saying it to other young people. But the Lord is saying this is a season of you growing in responsibility. And he says this, for now you see in the mirror vaguely, but then face to face. Now you have known in part, but you shall know fully, just as you have been fully known. And I just want to speak that as a promise, that what you now know in part, you will know fully, because you will see him face to face, and because he will fully know you. He will fully know you, and you will know that you've been fully known. And so, Father, we commission this man. We commission him, Lord Jesus, with our heart commissions, Lord Jesus, with the authorities and the victories that you've put in us in our own journeys. We pass them over to Colin. We give them to Colin. We say, walk in the victory of Jesus. Grow in your heart. Make space for the new responsibilities he's bringing to you. There are certain things he's going to call you to put away, but there's going to be there to make space for new things that you're going to pick up. What you have known in heart, you will know in full. And the great thing is, straight after saying that, you see, it's not just knowledge that puffs up, because then Paul says, because what you're about knowing is faith, hope, and love. And that's what you're about knowing. But what you have known in part, you will know in full, because you will be fully known, and you'll see him face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We'll finish and take time for coffee, but Colin, I think, will stay here, because many of you may want to just bring your own prayers and words to